Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, the Sharks cross off quite a few boxes today. They win the special teams battle. Check that box off. They score more than 5 goals. Check that box off. Only let in 2 goals. Check that box off. This team is, dare we say it, swimming into the playoffs? I'm joined, as always, by a great group of panelists, including the Rocket Backhander herself. Rocket, how are you doing this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. That was one of those games that I don't see how you could be doing bad afterwards. Alex, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty well. I thought it was a great game. 6-1, 6-2, we should say. Yeah.
And we've got some check-ins from Eric and Notch Bro. The guys are at the tank. Guys, why don't you take it away? Get those quick thoughts in.
You got it, Lanny. Thank you so much. Alongside Gentry Alexander, good to have you here.
What's going on, guys?
This game was a pretty dominant one. Sharks got on the board early. Fourth line doing some wonders.
Oh, absolutely. The fourth line was absolutely swimming around tonight. They were giving the Devils their due, just feasting on all the opposition they had, and were proving that the Sharks are proving that they have some organizational depth. I really like that fourth line of Eric Fair, Yannick Hansen, and Barkley Goodrow. I think that's a nice solid fourth line, and fourth line is what you're going to need to go deep into the playoffs. We saw that a couple years ago. Another thing that I really wanted to point out was special teams were very key tonight. You had 2 goals on the power play, and you had, and I believe they were perfect on the penalty kill, if I'm not mistaken, including a brilliant performance by the penalty killers on that 5-on-3.
Definitely.
It was an exciting first period. Had everything going for it, and the Sharks just dominated from the get-go.
And you had the fourth line doing wonders. You had, like you said, the penalty killers did great on that first period. Power play did great. It went really great. They scored 2 power play goals tonight.
Do we need to tell them about the jersey bet?
Yes, if you haven't heard in a while, I had made this asinine idea because the Sharks were 0-for-29 on the power play for the longest time. It took them a month to actually score a power play goal. I thought, no way they could score 2. Because if they score 2, I'd get a Brody Brazil Sharks jersey. Guess what happened, folks? The Sharks scored 2 power play goals tonight. Thank you, Mikael Bodker. So,
let me make Hot sure. Hot bod coming through.
So, just so you know, there's the receipt for it. So.
Oh, my gosh. Good job, Eric.
So, you're now the proud owner of a Brody Brazil jersey.
Yes.
it's so beautiful to see that it really.
I need to go into the penalty box and bang my stick and just go on a quick big old rant like he did at his fantasy camp. Nonetheless, it's all in fun, so we're having a good time with it. Brody's gonna have a field day with this one, folks. But
you'll have to get it signed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, but overall, a great period, great shutdown. Yeah, they had that little goal then at the end, but you know, doesn't matter. 6-2, they get their 5th straight win.
But the most important thing, you get valuable points, and you make that game against Vegas on Thursday hugely important. And that's all you have to do. The Sharks gave the Devil their due, and doused them.
So with that, you 3 have fun. Take care. We'll see you down the road with the Brody Brazil jersey. Oh,
God. That's so bye, cool. Guys. Have a good show.
Thanks, gentlemen. Thanks for the check-in. Well, if you want to be a part of the show, I should probably get this overlay working first. Here we go. Let's try this again.
Some days.
Oh.
Not today.
Not today. Okay. Well, if you want to be a part of the show, you guys know how to do it. You guys have been doing it all season long, but use that YouTube chat down there to the right-hand side. There you go. And send us some questions. We'd love to read them on air. We do this for you guys. Also, you can reach us on the Twitters and use the hashtag TealTownAfterDark, sending that to TealTownUSA. Or you can send it to one of us. So you've got at Eric Landy with you, got Al Martinet, and you got Rocket Backhander at you. So what was your overall impressions tonight, Rocket? I mean, just kind of going through just first initial takeaways from the game, and then we'll kind of break it down period by period, but initial takeaways.
My initial takeaways from this game were that Bron didn't have a real strong start to this game, and then for some reason it became like this, just an Oprah Winfrey, you get a goal and you get a goal and you get a goal and you get a goal. And I think this is when the system really genuinely works, is when everybody's in, like the entire fourth line. All of the defense was on the rush tonight. Like, they all contributed, and it was, I think that's what you have to do in order to succeed with the system that they have. So tonight they found their groove and they stayed in it.
Definitely, definitely. Alex, what did you think about the game tonight? Just your first overall impressions?
I guess overall impressions, I'm surprised how well Paul Martin played. His first point of the season. I don't know how many games he's played this season. I think it's been a total of 6 or 7. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a playoff spot, if he's still on the roster when the playoffs roll around. I think that's just a Pierre DeBoer thing. Not a depth issue, but I think he just wants to go with a veteran lineup. I don't know what the injury status with Joachim Ryan or Don.
Yeah, we'll go over the injury status. That's a really good segue. So we got some really good news out of the Vlasic and Carlson injuries. Both played tonight, both logging significant minutes. I mean, Mark Edward Vlasic clocking in second most on the defense with 21 minutes tonight. So, you know, no ill effects after that puck to the throat. It was confirmed it was his throat. Yeah. We also had Carlson clocking in at 15:51 for ice time in regards to Carlson. Joachim Ryan is 7 to 10 days from the date of his injury. We should probably expect to hear some updates perhaps after the Vegas game and get some ideas. Right now, Paul Martin is drawing into the lineup. He did have about 15 minutes tonight, so not too shabby for his second game back. Also heard that Jonas Donskoy was downgraded from, well, I guess it would have been upgraded from kind of a week to week to now day to day. So that's really good to hear. You know, we had all feared the worst, where we thought maybe he separated that shoulder again, but it doesn't seem to be. I think he might have dodged a little bit of a bullet there. And we have a Jumbo watch sighting today. Jumbo for the second day in a row skating. I mean, if you guys saw any of the Twitter video that was out there, thanks, Paul Gackle. It was very ginger. It looked like he was playing, shimmy with his kid and just out there on the ice, just really ginger, trying to get it, just trying to get the feeling back in the legs, but not really pushing it. Paul did say that he took a little bit more harder strides today than he did yesterday, which is good to hear, but I'm still pegging Jumbo coming back. Maybe the last game of the season, or maybe one or two games prior to the start of the playoffs, but that's kind of where I'm pegging him.
I don't know about that. I think if he was going to come back early April, you would have heard something by now. I think I'm in that camp now where I think if he's probably going to come back first game of playoffs, and that's the earliest you see him.
I think he'd come back second or third game of the playoffs, if not second round.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, any progress is good. I mean, the organization is very tight-lipped when it comes to the injuries, but it's good to just see him on the ice. I think that's progress overall, you know, because certainly the team isn't going to tell you very much. And, you know, Peter DeBoer was very, very aware of the words he chose when he was speaking to the media about Jumbo's availability, you know, any kind of thing for Jumbo. Rob saying Jumbo is done for the year. I wouldn't peg it. Just because Jumbo is known to push the envelope, and it would not surprise me if he wanted to get a tune-up game in. And I think that he starts playing even if he's not 100%, because that's just the type of player that he is.
I'm in the camp where I think Jumbo comes back if he thinks this is his last year and he doesn't want to do the circus of competing, doing another 81 game series, and have to do the playoffs again. So I think if he wants to rehab, do the full rehab, and then come back fresh next season, I think he sits out the playoffs. That's what I'm more leaning for.
Yeah. So, I mean, just kind of routing back into the game, of course, the Sharks do win in big fashion against the Devils, who finished up their California road swing. I believe they went 1-2, excuse me, on the California swing, that lone win coming in Los Angeles. Of course, they lost on Sunday to the Duckies 4-2. But, you know, like the Devils were kind of one of those teams we're looking at like, man, they're going to come in desperate to SAP Center. They're going to really want the points. They're in an all-out dogfight for that last wild card spot in the East. This was going to be a really good test to see where the Sharks kind of stacked up against a playoff team. Mind you, not an upper echelon playoff team, but a playoff team nonetheless.
But they've bested both the Predators and the Tampa Bay Lightning easily on occasion this season, which made me think that they were going to come in and steamroll the Sharks if they had that kind of capability in their lineup.
It's so interesting the way that some of the Eastern teams go into that initial push into their Western Conference swing. They get some really, you know, really interesting wins, like beating Vegas and beating Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of teams kind of start off very, very strong and then kind of come into the last little bits of their Western road trip and kind of falls apart. So, yeah. I mean, it's interesting to say the least. The Devils have a really good team. I mean, going forward, they're going to have some really good pieces, really speedy team. I think goaltending just did not do them justice tonight, and I don't think that their team defense was all that great either.
I mean, the Devils have their schedule right now. They're playing 7 consecutive playoff opponents: Predators, Golden Knights, Kings, Ducks, Sharks, Penguins.
Oh, wow. That's one hell of a schedule.
And you're lucky if you go 4-3 with that record. Maybe 3-4. Currently they're 3-2, so that's not too bad. But honestly, this is a brutal stretch for them right now.
Yeah, very, very brutal. Quickly, let's kind of go over the game recap if NHL.com does not want to be a dick. And it looks like NHL.com wants to be a dick. So let me go ahead and let me pull these up from the Sharks website instead. And
I took notes.
You did. Okay. Well, that initial goal came in really, I mean, odd fashion, but Eric Fair on the fourth line just picks a corner on Corey Schneider right off kind of near the faceoff dot and just goes over the shoulder on Corey Schneider on just a really, really nice goal. I mean,
absolute snipe.
Yeah. I didn't even know that he had such soft hands. I mean, what do you think of that goal, Alex?
I mean, I thought it was cool at the moment, and then 5 goals later, it kind of just became a blur.
Oh, wow. Now you know I took notes, because I had a feeling that there was a lot of stuff that was going to happen. Yeah, I'm like, okay, I need to write all that down.
For the most part, I think it's been either – I've been more surprised with Fur because I had no clue who he was, and so getting 3 goals and 1 assist out of him has been pretty shocking. Probably more shocking than just what we've been getting from Evander Kane in some regards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just because it's you know, it's not really known, and you know, we really didn't know what kind of commodity he was coming in. Yep. And you know, to be quite honest, has been everything as advertised and more. I mean, quite frankly, he should have been an NHLer the way that he's playing.
It might just be the system. He might not be the best fit for this system compared to other systems he's played in.
That's very, very true.
That's fair.
What do you think, Rocket, on just the whole acquisition of Eric Fair?
I had no idea who this dude was. And the first time I saw him on the ice when I went to the game against Nashville, and we sat kind of what would be the equivalent of like the last row of the lower bowl at SAP Center. And I just kept going, my God, he is really tall. He's really tall. And you don't get that much of a sense just watching on TV how big the guy is until you actually sit kind of ice level-ish and see how big this dude is. And I think that his size, to some people might look like a detriment, you know, because, oh, he's slow, blah, blah, blah. But that's definitely not the case. So I'm glad that we picked him up, and I'm glad that he wasn't another scoreless Hanson-Bodker combo. That was great.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Then Taylor Hall answers back on a partial breakaway with just a highlight reel kind of goal. This guy is electrifying. You know, this is the reason why he is a MVP. In my opinion, he's the MVP front runner. I know that there's going to be people that are going to pull out some other names too, but you know what? Hall is definitely my MVP front runner. The Sharks, though, I mean, undeterred, kind of come back on the power play, no less, and have Joe Pavelski, I mean, with a really beautiful tip in front, vintage Pavelski from LeBanc, who just got that shot off right away after he gets the pass from Burns. And the Sharks take the lead and really, I mean, put the pedal to the metal. And after that, you have Yannick Hansen with his first goal of the year, believe it or not.
And that's when I kind of suspected this game was going off the rails, but not against San Jose, which was fun. Piqued my interest a bit.
Right, yeah, and it's just hilarious. But, I mean, Yannick Hansen with that breakaway goal, I mean, you know, they said it on the broadcast, this is the reason why he was a 20-goal scorer last season. I mean, he just had incredible hands. You know, dare I say it, looks like he's found a home on that fourth line with Gaudreau and with Fair. And you know what? I mean, having three lines that can score like that bring a lot of beef on that fourth line. I mean, they can check with the best of them. And, you know, they've got some pop scoring-wise. That's a luxury that the Sharks have not had in a while. But, you know, even before that, I want to talk about the 5-on-3 that the Sharks killed off. The Sharks' penalty kill was excellent tonight. They killed off every single penalty that the Devils had. But, you know, they survive a 5-on-3, and that 5-on-3 was a minute and 20 seconds. And you had key faceoff wins by Pavelski, by Couture, and the defense really holding their own. Martin Jones doing a great job holding down the fort. Guys, that penalty kill looks like they just kind of flushed the book from Vancouver and really came back with a vengeance. What did you guys see on the penalty kill tonight?
They were clogging up everybody's lanes and not overcommitting to one particular player, but they also didn't give anybody enough room.
And I didn't think the shots were that great for New Jersey. Like I thought there were a lot of great rebounds, but nothing that I had to actually put on some muscle to it.
Speaking of rebounds, did you notice Martin Jones's rebounds were amazing tonight?
Yeah.
Very good rebound control.
Yeah,
I mean, it kind of flies under the radar because of the number of goals that they scored, but Martin Jones had a really good game tonight. I mean, just breaking down his save percentage, he's at .929 tonight. His even strength, the two goals that they did score were even strength. One was a garbage time goal. You know, so just saved 26 of 28 shots faced. And really, I mean, there were some moments where Jersey was in tight, I mean, close quarters, and he held them in. And really, I mean, when Jersey had their pushbacks every time the Sharks scored, Jones was up to task and really, you know, made sure that the momentum that the Sharks got was not sucked out. And we've seen that before as a script for the Sharks, where they'll get up, they'll get the momentum, and then the other team will come back down, you know, cycle on them a little bit and inevitably score a goal, and that's it. You know, the momentum and their all that good feeling that they had built up is just gone. But not tonight. I mean, Jones really held in and did well. So good on
him. We haven't even started on the second period yet.
Yeah, I mean that first period was jam-packed. I mean, we had a power play goal. We had a 5-on-3 PK that the Sharks killed off. You had a Yannick Hansen breakaway, for Christ's sake. I mean, you know, that could have been in a game itself. It could have been 3-1, that's it. But no, we got a second period where the Sharks just put the pedal to the metal. Barkley Goodrow with his 7th goal of the season. Dylan with his 14th assist. I mean, he's on a 5-game point streak. And Brendan Dillon and Dylan DeMello in the last, let's say, 4 games, maybe 5 games, have been the best pair on the Sharks. And I can't believe I'm saying it. But yep. You know what? Those two have found a really, really good chemistry together. And the Sharks can roll D pairs 1 through 3 with the best of them.
Oh, and, God, Dad's here.
Uh-oh. So, anyhow, I mean, just having Dylan and having DeMello, being able to roll them out as a third pair defense group and being able to add that extra defensive pop from Dylan, you know, who will not, you know, he won't back down to anybody. Mm-hmm. And having Dylan DeMello with his, I mean, he's got some offensive instincts. That's turning into a really, really great pair. Al, what do you think on the third pair?
You know, I've been really impressed with Dylan's game all throughout the season. I think he's been one of the most consistent Sharks, defenseman Sharks. You know, of course, Vlasic is Vlasic. He's going to be our number one. But I thought that third pairing has been solidified throughout the season. Maybe not in terms of getting points, but in terms of solidifying that D line. That's been really surprising. In terms of the second period, the only bad thing that happened in that second period was when Bakker didn't go around the net and tried to deke out the goalie.
That was pretty hilarious.
And he's just sitting there like, well, I could just deke him out and make him go off the pad. And
sure, why not?
And I hate to steal this from Chris, but is Bakker like some other person that we just don't know about? And we like just is he playing out of his body right now?
I believe he's suffering from the Paul McCartney syndrome, where, you know, they replaced Paul McCartney halfway through the Beatles' career, you know, with a different guy. So I think that's Mikhail Bodker. Somebody shot Mikhail Bodker.
The whole God. Paul is dead conspiracy.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. The Bodker is dead conspiracy.
Bodker is dead. All long live Bodker.
Yes. So Rocket, I specifically did not want to cue you up on this because I wanted to give you the floor and let you have a good 5 minutes on why we all suck and why we all should be shot out of the cannon for not thinking Brendan Dillon and Dylan DeMello would be a good pair this year.
Well, to be honest, I still don't think that they're the best pair ever. And I really don't. It's like you get those games where Dylan DeMello is in the penalty box or Kevin LeBanc is in the penalty box, and they're usually in there more than once. And that's when I get super frustrated. DeMello was in there twice tonight, and I get very frustrated with that because you give the other team opportunities to score against you when you put a man in the box. So I still, as much as I appreciate his progress and his ability to play with Dylan, I put it more on Dylan's ability to help his teammates get better. Because that's what Dylan does. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why I've been a big fan of his, because he's got a really difficult job. And I don't mean just defenseman in the NHL, but he's a third pairing defenseman. And those are the guys who get crapped on the most. And if he's a really solid guy and he's got really good instincts to make his you know, his partner better and to kind of read into his partner in order to adjust his game to raise them both to a new level, that's a really, really good, strong skill that you can have on any team. And it doesn't matter if he's a first pair or a second pair, and you kind of almost need that on your third pair because that's, like I said, like kind of the low spot. So I don't blame anybody for not seeing Brendan Dillon for the amazing, outstanding, hardworking third pair defenseman that he is. Because when you have players like, when you have defensemen like Mark Edward Blasic and Brent Burns, you tend to hold all of your D pairs to that level. And I get that. I mean, I totally do, but it's unfair. And it's not Eric fair either. And I really, like when he came in, I understood what his job was, and I wasn't expecting him to be Brent Burns, nor was I expecting him to be Mark Edward Blasic. But yeah, for what he is, he's amazing. And yeah. I'm glad everyone sees that now, but I've been on this train forever, y'all. Woot woot, snacks are over there, restroom's in the back. Let me know if it gets too warm in here, I'll turn it down.
Yep. Well, I mean, as we're heaping on the praise for Brendan Dillon, let's heap on a little bit more because Logan Couture, with his 30th goal of the season, another 30-goal season for Logan, who is just Mr. Consistent, Mr. Clutch, and Brendan Dillon getting on the board again tonight with his second assist. And, you know, what can you say about Logan? I mean, that was just an all-world shot he took.
Oh, yeah.
You know, beats Kincaid the first shot he sees. You know what? I mean, good on Logan, and that line with him and Hurdle and Bodker has looked really dangerous. I mean, they were all over it tonight. Al was completely correct. They missed the net and could have easily had two more goals for that line. Some great chemistry there. And you know what? They keep on trucking. And then, I mean, I guess just to put, you know, icing on top of your icing, Mikkel Boedker scores on the power play, and like we said before, this is the Paul McCartney conspiracy. What the hell has happened to Boedker
after Bod.
Yeah, I mean, after January 1st, I'm guessing he either got like super drunk at like at a New Year's party and you know died on the operating table because he had, you know, so much alcohol poisoning, and they just replaced him.
I figured it out. Okay, so they got him wet, they exposed him to bright light, and they fed him after midnight. Gremlins reference. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I get it, but
okay. That's what happened.
In terms of what happened to Boedker, I think it became more of a depth issue. And when Kane slid into the second or even the first line role, I think Boedker was better suited for that. And I think Hansen actually had a role because the Sharks didn't have to need offense. And I love Hansen, but like he couldn't shoot at that point. And I think the Sharks just had more depth because of Kane. And I think, well, Boedker's, he's still decent, but he still has his flaws time and time again. But you're not playing him 15 minutes.
Well, hey, I mean, look, right now the guy has got 32 points on the season and 65 games played. If we would have said he was going to have that many points last year at the height of his rut, I mean, we would have been happy with that. I'm still not happy with the amount of money that he's making for sure for that amount of production. But, I mean, just, you know, to be able to chip in for that and just see how far he was in the doghouse, that's pretty good. And then we go to the third period and we go to that garbage time goal. Blake Coleman with his 10th on the season for Maroon and Stafford. I mean, garbage time goal, score effects, whatever you want to call it. You know, New Jersey gets another one and spoils the one goal stand for Martin Jones. And I think we have AJ on the line. AJ, how are you doing? How was the game?
Howdy, howdy. Oh, fantastic game. I thought the Sharks were just absolutely locked down in the first period. I mean, really, if you go back and look at that first period, how much offensive zone time did the Devils get? It wasn't a whole hell of a lot. The Sharks just absolutely owned the neutral, had some great sustained pressure in the first, in that O zone. But there's so much talk about the Sharks are a two-line team, or, you know, when Thornton was here, and they need more depth scoring. need more depth scoring. It doesn't get more depth than Fair, Bonker, and, you know,
Hanson.
Yeah, exactly. That was my whole thing. I'm like, Fair and Hanson both scored. And Hanson on a breakaway, Fair with a snipe shot. The best part about the Fair shot is that it faked out literally everybody. Like, the guy who, like, triggers the red light and the horn was like, did that go in? I'm not sure. And then, you know, like, okay, yeah, hit the button. Hit the button. It looked like it went in. Go ahead, hit it. That was, I mean, fantastic. First two periods were phenomenal. Sharks, as Sharks are going to do with that big of a lead, took their foot off as, the second progressed and the third. But Jones stopped some amazing shots tonight. Just one of the best Sharks games defensively I have seen over two periods in quite some time. And this is not against a bottom dweller. This is against a team that is literally fighting for their wild card lives. So very ecstatic to see this display coming back from that three-game roadie. Hopefully that three-game roadie sweep just, I don't know, put a little nitro in their gas tank. And I just thought they looked great tonight. That was, couldn't have it. The one guy actually that I could, if you want to try to look for the fart in the elevator is Justin Braun. I thought did not have the best game. I'm sure it didn't look like it on TV, but away from the puck, he made some very questionable decisions tonight. And if that's the one thing you can kind of go, yeah, Braun could look better. Again, just overall fantastic game. The fact that Puck Guy has to buy a Brody Brazil jersey, you can't get better than that.
No, you really, true. You can't beat that. We're going to go over the three stars tonight. The three stars were Brent Burns was number one, Barkley Goodrow number two, and Brandon Dillon number three.
You know you're doing a bad job on Goodrow as your second star. I'm just saying. I'll jump back on in a second when I'm at home, boys.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, AJ. All right, so Brent Burns quietly had a three-point night tonight. I mean, he's got an assist. We'll put it out there. Paul Martin with the second game back has his first point of the season. But also Burns factored in on that goal too because he started out with that breakout pass. Joe Pavelski's power play goal, it was LeBanc and Burns. Burns fed the puck over to LeBanc. LeBanc took that shot. Pavelski tipped in. And Burns started off that power play where Mikael Bodker scores his 14th. Burns has 48 assists this year. And Randy made a really good point, creeping back into the Norris talk again. Based purely on points, of course, because his plus minus is just horrendous.
You are not kidding about that.
Please tell me you're kidding.
I'm just saying, if this is going to be the Paul Coffey Award for Norris and not the Bobby Orr Award for all-around, all-world defenseman, Brent Burns is making a case a little bit on the extreme points.
Isn't he like minus 14, minus 15?
Which is a far cry from his like minus 20 he was sitting a few, like almost a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, but I think that's a DQ if you're going to call him a Norris candidate.
I don't know. He's second on the team in points, 58 points. I mean, from a defenseman that, I don't know.
Okay, well, who are the Norris candidates? Compared to the points, is that a defining factor?
Well, I think if you're overwhelmingly have more points than the competition, I think it goes in your favor. I think that kind of equals out the balance between all purpose and all round defensemen.
Because isn't this the year when PK wins it?
Ooh, probably.
PK, I mean, there's a lot of Carlson support. Drew Doughty has gotten a lot of I would say the hipster vote because, let's give Doughty a Norris because,
if there's anything that's a lock, I think it's Pekka Rinne that's going to win the Vezina. I mean,
sure. Yeah, I mean, if Vasilevskiy would have had that choke job that he's had, I think he would have had it. But yeah, I think Pekka is going to get it.
That's like the one lock I see for the award season. But in terms of MVP and everything else, like, I would assume Nashville's going to clean up.
I just don't think that Sharks had enough offensive production just like to begin the year. They had trouble scoring. And so for Burns to have a, like, oh, he's got more points than this, that it's not that impressive of a stat when you remember how kind of an off season this whole team has been with production.
Yeah, it's kind of been, you know, that those points are kind of hyperinflated from the back half of the season, sure. Which some voters do, you know, appreciate, because it's like, okay, well, when it counts, he's putting in the extra points.
Yeah, good point.
But you know, there's a lot of people in the Hockey Writers Association that really care about consistency over a long year. So you know, it's a balancing game between the points, between all-purpose defensemen, and just, you know, I guess the consistency factor. So I think all of those go into it.
So PK has 51 points, and he's a plus 19. And Burns has how many points?
Yeah, 58.
So I think
that he's a minus what?
17.
So I think that automatically knocks him out.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, quickly, I wanted to kind of go over the Sharks just team stats wise. We were talking a little bit last game about where the Sharks were goals for, goals against. Well, the Sharks now with tonight's game, and this stat came from Randy on the broadcast tonight. The Sharks have scored 27 goals in 5 games. It is the most in a 5-game span in franchise history since 1996. The Sharks now sit 13th overall in goals for, averaging 3.03 a game, and their goals against sits at a nice cool 2.71. Boy, this team has really come a long way from the early stretches of the season where is the goal scoring going to come from to sporting a roster with, let's take a look at the updated number now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, almost 12 scorers with 10 goals or more, and almost 4 20 goal scorers. I mean, oh my God. I mean, I heard it on the Circling the Puck podcast the other day, but it's like this team is a bunch of second liner, second lines all combined. You know, basically any line that you pick out of the Sharks is a second line. What do you guys think about just the distributed goal scoring? Alex, why don't you take it first, and then we'll head over to Rocket.
Distributed goal scoring. I'm more surprised about how it's developed in terms of the blending of line chemistry. I thought that was something from the first 20 games, 25, 20, maybe 30 games, where Pierre DeBoer was just shuffling lines, and you could really see that the Sharks were just looking out of, I'm not saying out of sight, but but we're just not blending together in the right ways. And I think in some ways, because the Sharks were just blending lines together, I think that now you have maybe 15 players where you can actually plug in players with some semblance of experience playing together. And I think it's worked out in the last 10 games, especially in the last 3 games, Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton. And I also think that the big addition was also Evander Kane. That is what really helped out the Sharks.
Right. Rocket, what do you think about the overall scoring and just, I mean, the kids, the way that the kids have stepped up?
I think that the special sauce that this burger needed was definitely Eric Ferrand and Evander Kane for different reasons, but just they brought what Yannick Hansen and Mikael Bodker didn't. And there is a lot that they bring, including, you know, finishing, says, and just like there's speed. There's yeah, I think those two, sorry, I got distracted. Those two guys are a huge part of, I think, what has made this team gel in the last couple of months, because I haven't been able to say, like, oh, you know, all the guys have stayed healthy and they've finally been able to solidify their lines. Pete did slow the line blender down a little bit. And that was, I think, because he was finally getting what he needed from Eric Fair and Evander Kane. And he really only started the line blender up when, Vlasic went down and Carlson went down in the same game. And then he started to have to switch things up just to find the mojo again. So, I mean, one or two people make a big difference, but it's not, they're not the superstars in it. You know, it's just like, there are these two little stars that complete the constellation, and the whole constellation is a giant shark in the sky, and it's coming after you. And I really, that's what I think. And I also, go ahead.
No, I was just going to add on. I think the bigger thing happened was when Joe Thornton got injured, the Sharks didn't have to slow down everything for a 38-year-old. They could actually play to their speed, to their physical abilities. And I love Joe Thornton, but like the power play is much better without him.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I don't think they overpass nearly as much.
Right. And you're starting to see that half board slow up that was, Jumbo's calling card for the last few years has kind of gone away now. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's been really quick with Bernsey kind of driving it. And you know what? I love LeBanc back there as the power play kind of quarterback. I mean, it just seems like he's kind of
a sniper right now.
He's a sniper, but
that's
he's
his
also,
natural.
That's he can his pass. Position.
Yeah, his natural tendency is to just pass. So I think that's a really good spot for him. I agree.
He was like very much a passer to start this season. And then again, going back to when the count all the bank is kind of like, okay, got the assist thing down. I got the assist thing down. Now we're going to work on that shot.
Yeah. I mean, just looking over on LeBanc's stats, I mean, he's got 39 points, 68 games played, 11 goals, 28 assists. He's been a guy that has been really a net add for sure on that power play. I mean, and just, you know, he kind of was a little trigger shy at the beginning when he was placed on it, but now being reinserted after Donskoy's departure, really making the most of his time up there. So I really like to see that. I mean, Timo Meier is just being a bull out there. I mean, the kid has kind of taken his mentality from junior and brought it up to the NHL, where he's just bullying his way through and making plays happen. And that LeBanc, Meier, Tierney line, boy, they can be really fun to watch at times.
Yes, indeed.
Amazing how much better Tierney is with solid players.
I mean, look, Tierney's got 37 points.
Dude, Tierney going to get paid.
Yeah, isn't this a contract year for him?
This is definitely
him and Hurdle.
Oh, they're playing like it's contract years. Hopefully Hurdle's knee will last playoffs this year.
Well, okay. It's good to see him in the 2020 club for Hurdle. I mean, this was going to be a big year for him. You know what? He's been really consistent. He stepped up his defensive game this year for sure. Been much more noticeable with the back checks, been much more noticeable being able to carry that puck, hold onto the puck into the boards, and really just kind of be that possession monster that we drafted him for. So, you know, good on Hurdle too.
And I evidently have to apologize to Laurel for this skewed perspective behind me.
Oh, is it driving her nuts?
Not approved by her, the whole skewed wall. But you let me know when we're done talking about the game, because I got a couple funny things to discuss.
Okay. Well, first off, we want to throw a shout out there for Jerry. I guess he's in his car making his way towards Los Angeles, but he's listening to the podcast live on his way. Thank you, Jerry. We really appreciate it.
God, that's awesome.
Yeah. You know what? I just be safe on that drive. I've had to do that drive many a time. You know, coming home from San Jose back to San Diego, it sucks. So,
yeah, and hey, you give me another couple of beers, I'll get you all the way home, brother.
I'm not kidding either.
I'm not kidding.
We'll fly all the way back, but
I've done that, what, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. with you, AJ?
Oh, easy. Easy. I will talk until the Dan Boyle Q&A tomorrow night.
All right. Well, before we head into the rest of the night's actions, AJ, we'll let you have the floor here for the next little bit, and then we'll head over to the reach around.
It was just, and there's no way to like say this without sounding like, oh my God, watch me while I toot this horn. But just like some really cool stuff happened today. So I just thought I would share it. If you haven't noticed, I've purchased myself a new authentic game-worn jersey. Anybody have an idea who this number correlates to?
First round bust, Nick Patrecki.
That would be correct, sir. And the best part of purchasing this from the Sharks Foundation booth is on the sheet that they had it listed. They had it listed as Matt Patrecki. That just goes to show you how much they cared. They had five jerseys. They had a game worn Jason Demers. That was the first one to go. Then left it when I got there. There was this Patrecki one, and of course I had to go Patrecki because let me see. I don't know if you can see it in the background, but there's a nameplate right there in the center that says
Doherty 77.
So it's like I got my Doherty, and now I have my Patrecki, and like I literally want to go to the Shark Tank and just like with the Patrecki or with the Doherty nameplate stuck to my head, wearing this jersey, saying. Just screaming, when are you guys going to learn how to draft defensemen in the first round? But anyway, had to pick this up. It was only $100. I mean, an authentic, right?
Yeah. Is it a game worn?
No, not a game worn, but it is authentic. And the thing is, I have never owned this generation of jersey until tonight, because when this first came out, I was like, that is way too goddamn much orange.
It still is.
It still is.
I love that jersey.
But see.
Oh God, no. You're the only one.
Yeah, but he loves Nemi too. There's nothing to, you know.
Nothing wrong with him.
Okay. But anyway, so Felix, yeah, this was $100
on a first round bust.
Oh, yeah, because of how much I have. The only reason, if this had been like any other player, I wouldn't have done it. But the fact that it was a guy, that Patrecki and Doherty are guys that I have just constantly dumped on, as soon as I saw it, I'm all, oh yeah, I got $100, sure, gotta do it.
That makes total sense,
right? At least it's not a Brody Brazil jersey.
Hey now.
And this dude did play one game for the Sharks.
Hey, preseason asking, doesn't count.
All right, hold on. No. He did play one game. Hold on. I have stuff to show. I have show and tell I've brought for the class.
Oh boy.
So Steve asking what other jerseys were there. Did Sharks had a guy named, okay. So there were five jerseys. It was Patrecki, Demers. Did the Sharks feature a gentleman by the name of Matt Moore? Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. Matty Moore. I remember him.
Okay. So they had a Moore. They had, Jeez, there were two others, and you know, they again guys that were here for, now that I think about it, there was one that Rocket will totally appreciate. And
was Haley? Was there Lurg?
No. Oh. Let me, you know, this is how Rocket is going to know it. All I have to say to her is two words, and those words are more cowbell.
Oh, no way.
Mike Brown, baby.
Mike Brown. Oh.
Wait a minute. The teddy bear that lived on my couch?
Yeah.
Snuggle bear. Yeah.
One timer saying maybe Dominic Moore. No. They had it written down. Of course, they had this as Matt Patrecki. So it could have. They might have put Matt in front of everybody. I don't know. here is just what a cool day it turned out to be. So. Aside from them having this, when I walked in, I had purchased what I thought were two tickets for the Jumbo Bobblehead. And it was, and I was like, oh my God, did I not buy the right package? But evidently I did. And I was lucky enough to get Trey.
Nice.
So Trey Jumbo Bobbles. Now, and Steve, I hope Steve is still watching because he's going to love this when I get to the end of this. The other weird thing is that the UPS showed up today. I don't remember asking for these things, and I wish I knew who sent this to me from the Sharks so I could thank them. But in the mail today from UPS, I evidently was...
Oh, that's a hurdle floaty set.
Yeah, I've gotten some hurdle floaties.
I have a pair of those.
Who doesn't love hurdle floaties? I got some hurdle floaties.
They're adult-sized.
I got a Brent Burns camel bobble.
Wow.
I ended up with a Logan virtual reality bobble.
Oh, nice.
But the best part, and this is, well, actually, I can't say it's the best part because I haven't opened it. But our friend in the chat, Steve, is the... Excuse me while I rip this box apart. So Steve told me that if you want something signed, you need to send it to this address, and hopefully they'll send it back and blah, blah, blah. So in the mail, I checked as I was coming in, was this envelope. Let's open it and see what we got.
It looks like a jersey or a shirt.
No, jersey. And
signed by Brent Burns.
No. Signed by one of my all-time favorite players. Well, Sam, we'll see. We'll see if it's signed by him. No, we're going to get the board.
I'm assuming this is Ricci?
Nope. Oh, he didn't sign it on. He didn't sign it on the number, which I wish he would have. But I'll take it anyway.
Problems.
Take it anyway.
Wow.
I will still, even though he didn't sign it on the number, I'm still framing that.
Nice.
The fact that I sent this to him last Thursday, and already got it back.
Wow, that guy's on it.
He works in San Francisco.
Ah, gotcha.
But that is, again, I wish you would have signed it on the number. You would think Morth guy. You know what he did do? He kept my Sharpie. He didn't send back my Sharpie. I'm just saying. That is not in here.
Wow.
Yeah, he kept my Sharpie, that bastard.
That's not Mark Bell.
Oh, please.
All right. AJ, you want to get your quick thoughts in about the game, and then we're going to head over to the reach around.
Again, just amazing defensive display in the first two periods. Thought it was fantastic. And this was a game that, again, the New Jersey Devils are fighting for their wild card lives at this point. LA lost in overtime, so this was a huge win to give just a little more breathing room to the Sharks in their second spot in the Pacific. Keep it up, boys. I mean, Vegas is a coming. And Vegas, the last time I looked, had gone 5-5 over the last 10. Vegas may be slipping a little bit. This is the time to take advantage. Holy cannoli. And then Calgary coming in on Saturday. By the time that game... Well, wait a minute. Has Calgary already been mathematically eliminated?
No, they're still hanging on by the skin of their teeth.
Well, it's about that close, my friend. By the time that game happens, they might be. So
yes,
take advantage of this 3-game homestand. Build that cushion, because the roadie next week is not your friend. So build that cushion.
But Chicago has. They've been eliminated.
That's true.
Yeah, and what's the record versus Chicago and the Sharks right now?
It's not good in Chicago. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, it's not good.
All right. Well, are you ready, lady and gentlemen, for tonight's NHL Reach Around?
Bend over and grab your ankles, boys.
I promise to be gentle. Okay, the Penguins at the Islanders. The Islanders pull off kind of a little bit of an upset, but Islanders win 4-1 against the Penguins.
Wow.
Well, you know what? They've got to get their wins in now while they have John Tavares, because next year he'll be scooting up in teal.
From your mouth to God's lips.
The Blue Jackets get a much-needed win to stay in the hunt as well. They beat the Rangers 5-3. The Stars lose. I mean, this is a game that they had to win against the Capitals, but they lose it, and they're now staring outside of the playoffs. They lose to the Capitals 4-3. The Oilers, I mean, you know, who thought they could score 7 goals? But after they kind of got a little bit embarrassed by the Sharks, you know, in that overtime game, thriller by Hurdle, actually wasn't really embarrassed by the Sharks, but more like embarrassed by Tomas Hertl. The Oilers strike with a vengeance, 7-3 against the Hurricanes. The Panthers, Bob Bugner's Panthers, 1 point, and they're looking into the playoffs. They beat the Senators big time, 7-2. The Red Wings beat the Flyers, 5-4. And you know what? I mean, the Red Wings are seriously, I mean, they've got some really nice weapons, but they're playing spoiler here. The Flyers needed that extra point, and they didn't get it. The Lightning beat the Maple Leafs 4-3, so they continue to pad their cushion in the Atlantic.
Don't get me started on the playoffs. No reason why Boston and Toronto should be facing each other in the first round.
The Jets beat everybody's favorite team to hate, the Los Angeles Kings, 2-1. Although the Jets couldn't have done us a favor and beat them in regulation. No, they just had to give them a loser point, but they beat them in overtime, 2-1. Avalanche put a 5 spot up against the Blackhawks. They beat the Blackhawks and basically kill their season, 5-1. The Golden Knights, well, they did to Vancouver what we did to Vancouver, and they beat them 4-1. And then, of course, the game that we love, the game that we saw tonight, the Sharks beat the Devils 6-2. And Al has done a great job and shown the standings for us. So in the pack right now, Vegas leads with 99 points, but the Sharks are 8 behind. We've played the same amount of games. So, you know, the Sharks kind of still have a little bit of a window to kind of squeak in there, but they'll have to beat them on Thursday, which is going to be a really, really good game.
What's the magic number?
I believe 95 is the magic number.
It's 95.
Okay.
Yeah, so 95 points to secure you a playoff spot, but the Sharks kind of...
Typically, when you talk about magic number, that's like at this point... Yeah, I think this is at this point. I think it's probably someone there in the realm of about 16. I'd have to see what St. Louis has done, but it's basically 16 points need to happen. Where if the Sharks win their next game, St. Louis loses their next game, all of a sudden that number drops down to 14.
So the Shark,
I think they're talking about for wild card, it's going to be around 95, 96. Right. So,
no, I was talking about what AJ's talking about.
Oh,
see, there you go.
The magic overall number. So
Rocket and I are on another level than you guys.
Los Angeles is looking up at us. We have now a 4-point cushion on LA, but we have a game in hand on LA, which is really good because if the Sharks can win that game in hand, that means we'll be 6 points clear of them. Really good padding for this time. The Sharks, you know, have given themselves a little bit of breathing room, a little bit of slippage here. They could withstand, and it would not be the end of the world. Colorado in the first wild card spot right now with 88 points. The Duckies hold down the second wild card with 86. Heading over into the Nashville division. Oh, excuse me, the Central division.
Same thing.
Wow.
Nashville, I mean, they have 106 points. I mean, hand them the President's Trophy now. Give them the kiss of death because they're going to be a first round.
It is the kiss of death, my friend. It is the kiss of death.
Yep, but, I'm all for it.
106 points for Nashville. Winnipeg with 98 points. Minnesota with 90 points. Boy, if we saw Anaheim and Nashville or Los Angeles and Nashville and we have a bloodbath first round, please just let there be nobody skating after that series.
Can I just jump in here for a hot second and like probably point out the obvious? And there's just two things. First off, has anybody mentioned how adorable Rocket looks tonight in that top? Because that is a fantastically cute top on her. But now conversely, does she literally have a puck on her shelf autographed by Hockey Jerk?
I do. I actually do.
She has a Jerk special puck.
I do. I have a Jerk signed puck.
That top doesn't look so good now.
Yeah, but
hopefully it's clean.
But the hair is on point.
Thank you.
It's all about that top. The top is very cute.
We should just move
now
on.
She is showing that the shoulders match the collarbone.
There you go.
There you go.
The collarbones are hidden.
See, again.
Heading over to the Eastern Conference, the conference that we don't really care about, but I guess we kind of have to cover it because they're in the NHL too. in the Metropolitan, right now, Washington's holding down first spot with 91 points. They've got 73 games played. Pittsburgh's kind of on their tail, though. 4 points behind them at 87 points. Uh-oh, look who's back. Columbus is now in the top three again. They've got 87 points as well.
Good things do not happen to Tortorella.
Heading over to the Atlantic, Tampa Bay's got a one-up on the Atlantic crown. They've got 104 points. However, big asterisk there, Boston's got two games in hand, so they could challenge for that Atlantic top spot. But I think we all want to see Boston-Toronto in the first round.
No, I don't, because it's stupid as hell.
All right, I'm going to cut you off there.
No.
In the wild card, we got Philadelphia.
No. That two teams in their division have more points than all the other teams in their sister division is stupid. Would you not agree with that?
No, I don't agree.
How do you not agree with that?
Well, no, would it mess up the whole Philly versus Pittsburgh?
Yeah, well,
I don't want to mess that up. So it's Philly, just how it is.
But Philadelphia is not keeping up their end of the bargain number three, they would play Pittsburgh.
It's the fact that Boston and Toronto have more points in their division than their sister division, and one of those teams is going to go out in the first round. That is ridiculous.
Well, big fucking deal. Win your division. If you don't want that problem, then just go win your division.
Gotta go back to 1-8, man.
Oh my God.
Well, no. If you think about it, if you look at the Pacific or the West right now, if you go with what is the playoff format now, Sharks host in the first round versus LA.
Yeah,
but if you go back to 1-8, they're actually visiting Minnesota in the first round.
Yeah, but I'd rather them host LA than go to Minnesota.
I'm so tired of LA.
I am not tired of LA because, you know, inevitably we're going to get some blood drawn. I mean, literally. Somebody's going to do something really stupid and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be Dustin Brown and he's going to break Hurdle's other knee.
No, I'm actually wanting to see Kane like literally lay Dustin Brown out.
I'd rather see the Kings match up with the Vegas Knights and just have the Vegas Knights smush the crap out of them. That'd be cool. It'll never happen, but I'm going to see it.
Yeah. I mean, in the wild card, though, over in the East, Philadelphia is now heading up number one wild card spot with 86 points. Jersey's hanging on by the skin of their balls, skin of their teeth with 82 points, but Florida's got... Yeah, Florida's got two games in hand, and looky, I guess Bob Bugner called up Peter DeBoer and said, hey, do me a solid, beat these guys for me, and Peter DeBoer obliged. So, I guess this kind of concludes the NHL reach around. All right, so let's get on our last thoughts before we head out. AJ, what's your last thoughts?
Again, just hell of a you look at it, the last week of Sharks hockey, haven't lost a game, have looked really good in spots, obviously hanging seven goals for, you know, four goals for Evander, pretty good. By the way, best part of tonight, you know how they do the contest where it's like, did you know, or higher or lower? And we all saw the whole thing when Evander Kane scored four goals. Randy Hahn, five different times, said, Evander Kane joins the four-goal scorer club. He joins Owen Nolan, Tomas Hertl, and Patrick Marleau. And, of course, what is the question tonight? Evander Kane scored four goals last week. Mm-hmm. How many other Sharks have scored four goals? And he said 10. And literally everybody you heard, it wasn't a sellout by any stretch tonight. You heard like 13,000 people go lower. Just keep doing whatever it is you're doing. It's winning. If anything, Jumbo's got to be nervous because it's like, goddamn, these guys keep winning without me. I don't know how that's happening. Keep doing whatever it is you're doing. Vegas, huge, huge litmus test for these guys. So take advantage of that. I'm AJ _Strong on the Twitter and the Instagram. Also doing Teal Town USA Instagrams. And every once in a while, Rocket will throw a random Nashville photo in there, which I appreciate. So That's it. New puck knowledge just dropped like a day or two ago, and we're going to fix that. There's a couple things that were wrong with it, and we're going to fix it. Other than that, it was actually a really good show, The Return of Rocket and Jerk. So go check that out. Thanks for playing.
All right. Al, what's your last thoughts?
You know, I was kind of surprised. I didn't really see much of Hurdle in a way, but I thought this was a 6-2, 6-1 win. It was really 6-1, but whatever. What? There's not really much you can take away from this, that we beat up a team that obviously had a tough schedule. We got the 2 points, and that's really all you kind of can look at it. You know, all that's really been said about it, it's been said. I do want to do a quick shout out to Erik Karlsson. He lost his son. His wife had, they're trying to have a baby, and you know, a lot of stuff, but quick shout out to Erik Karlsson. He's probably going to be a free agent in the next year or so, but definitely something that's not going to be a sour point for the entire Ottawa Senators season. So yeah.
And Rocket, where can the people find you? What are your last thoughts on tonight's game?
My last thoughts on tonight's game. Martin Jones had a fabulous game. His rebound control was amazing, outstanding. I think.
No, go back to the accent.
No, I won't. You have to look at the fourth line and commend them for putting all four on the score and doing it well. So I agree with AJ in that Vegas is definitely a litmus test for these guys, and we'll see if it was just other men in shark suits or if this is actually the team that is headed into the playoffs. My name is Rocket Backhander, and you can find me on the Twitter, capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76, Rocket Backhander 76. Or you can check me out on Instagram, taking photos here in Nashville, living the teal life in a golden navy town, which is a little weird, but I do it anyway, and I do it with sass and class. And it's Rocket Backhander, one word on the Instagram.
All righty. Well, I finally got a little bit of the graphics action going on, so you can catch us pretty much everywhere, but all of the podcatchers of note, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and of course the YouTube replay. Also check out all the great content we've got at tealtownusa.com. Have some great articles coming up. We're going to have some fabulous stuff for the playoffs. We're going to have some more great interviews, hard hitting, investigative, you know, all those good adjectives that you like to have attached to your media content. Of course, I'm at Eric. Yeah, good verbs. I'm at Eric Landy on the Twitter machine. Of course, you can find me using my first name and last name on all that social media garbage. Anyhow, for the Teal Town USA crew, have a great night all, and we'll see you after the Vegas game.